We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Of course, you can follow the podcast as well at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and of course, check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. Speaking of which, shout out to the Angry Casual Fan, 305 Mike McGee, Kevin Kohler, Mark Zambito, and Arundel Gillespie for signing up to become new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, as well as new Hall of Fame member Alex Wang. Alex, thank you so much for signing up to be a Hall of Fame member. Like I said, make sure to check those out. As you can tell, I am wearing, for those of you on the YouTube channel at least, I'm wearing my Brewers sweatshirt today, who they are off to an amazing start. If you are a Brewers fan, a baseball fan, you're in Wisconsin, as you might have heard, I am doing the Timber Rattlers game this upcoming Friday, April 19th. $10 gets you in the door and gets you into my live draft Q&A prior to the game. Should be a ton of fun. Link to the ticket and you know to the game and to the Q&A will be in all of the profiles for wherever you're listening to this, Cheesehead TV, Packer Report, YouTube, or on any audio channel that you're listening to this on. In the notes will be that link to the tickets, but should be a fun time. I get to throw out the first pitch, which should be very humorous and super excited about that. So April 19th, $10 gets you in the door for the Q&A and the ticket to the baseball game. So make sure to check that out. But enough about all of that. Today is an important day as we lead up to the draft, because today we're going to be talking about offensive line. And I think you're going to get a feel when I say that it's very difficult to predict exactly what Green Bay is going to do. And it's always difficult to predict exactly what they're going to do. But as we try to narrow it down and sort of try to figure out who Green Bay might take in this draft, I think you're going to get a feel today as to why it is just so difficult to narrow down exactly who they may be interested in. Now, as we go over the offensive line, we have to keep a few things in mind. As we talked about yesterday, and as we heard at the end of the day on Friday, as Wilde and Tausch interviewed Rob Domofsky about the Zach Tom situation, that you know Rob heard from a front office personnel member that they think Zach Tom can be a Hall of Fame center, an All-Pro guard, or a Pro Bowl right tackle. And, you know, Rob said, you know, he thinks that the Packers starting center's on the roster, but it's not Josh Myers. It is Zach Tom. I talked about it a little bit yesterday, so I'm, again, not going to go into detail too much here, but I think the really, the biggest thing that you need to remember, Green Bay has versatility on this offensive line, specifically in Zach Tom and specifically in Elgton Jenkins. That is a great thing to have. It's a great tool at your disposal. It means that you have options. It means that you have the ability to move pieces around if they need to. And whether or not he's a Pro Bowl right tackle, All Pro guard, or Hall of Fame center, or somewhere in between, we know that Zach Tom is freaking awesome. And whether he's at left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, or right tackle, I have a ton of faith that Zach Tom's going to go out and play some pretty freaking amazing football. And that's what I care about. And whatever position they deem him most appropriate to play, so be it. And a lot of that will ultimately be determined by how Josh Myers does this offseason, what players they pick up in the draft. Do they make any trades or other free agent acquisitions on the offensive line the rest of this offseason? When they get to that first game in September and they go into game planning for that week, who are the best, healthiest offensive linemen on the roster at that point? Even if they spend a first round pick, or even if they spend their first three picks on the in the draft on offensive linemen, it doesn't necessarily mean that those are three players that are ready to come in and contribute and play right away. It might still be Rashid Walker and Josh Myers, and then Sean Ryan and Zach Tom. Easy for me to go through. Could be those five, the five that we saw basically finish up the end of last year. And that could be your starting five going into the season. It could be that they gain some huge competition through the draft or free agency, that maybe they get a player still that can come in and compete. And maybe Sean Ryan's on notice. Maybe Rashid Walker's on notice. Maybe Josh Myers is on notice. Maybe Zach Tom does move inside. But all of that will be determined as time goes along. Trying to predict right now what position Zach Tom is going to play this upcoming season based on nothing, because we don't even know what the roster is going to look like. We don't know who's going to be healthy. We don't know any of it. It's a fool's errand. So the great news, the only thing that we need to know is that Green Bay feels unbelievably great about having Zach Tom on their roster. He has a ton of versatility, and that is a beautiful thing because it will give Green Bay options. So that's what I'll say about that. But it does open up that thought process, at least, of when we've talked a little bit about offensive line in the past, and we've covered Graham Barton already in great detail, and I've talked about this position in the past a little bit, but if you're taking a tackle, one of the things that has sort of been a roadblock for me as I looked at Green Bay potentially taking a tackle specifically in round one, anything else is it, you can always take it. But round one's a little bit more interesting because ideally you'd like that player to be able to come in and contribute sooner rather than later. Do you want to bench Rashid Walker? If not, all right, you don't have a left tackle opening. Do you want to move Zach Tom inside? If not, well, then you don't have a right tackle opening. But it does sound like, again, per Rob Domofsky, that there is, or at least there's some belief in the building, and there are those in the building that maybe even would love to see Zach Tom moved inside. So that potentially at least opens up the avenue to take a tackle early and maybe plug them in at right tackle if Green Bay does have that potential appetite to move Zach Tom inside, or at least feel extremely comfortable about moving him inside. So that opens up the option of grabbing a tackle in the first round and still having a spot for him to come in and play right away. As I have talked about, to me, offensive line is the biggest need on this team. I'll say it one more time. That line left to right, Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Ryan, and Tom, I feel comfortable with those five going into the season. If you told me that those were the five that played throughout the course of this season and played 90% of the snaps, I'd say you're fine. You're probably good. Hopefully Walker and Ryan and maybe even Josh Myers and maybe even Zach Tom continues to get better at this point. Elton's probably who he is at this point, but maybe those guys continue to get better. Maybe as they play as a cohesive unit, they continue to play even better next to each other. There are ways that this line doesn't necessarily have to be bad, or like we saw them compete at a very high level with basically this offensive line. Like I said, I think there's a real opportunity for all of them to get better and certainly get better together. So I don't have a ton of concern overall if that's what you need to go with. That being said, I actually do believe in Rashid Walker. I very much do. But Josh Myers and Sean Ryan, I am not there I am not fully confident. I'm not saying they can't. I'm not saying Josh Myers can't go out and have legitimately the best football of his career. I'm not saying that Sean Ryan can't be a 5-6 year starter for Green Bay at right guard. I think there's opportunity there, and I hope both of them step up and crush it out of the park and play literally the best football of their lives. That'd be amazing. I'm just saying I have some nervousness about it. I have some angst about it, and I would love some competition and potentially somebody who could come in and upgrade those positions. I would absolutely love that, and I'm sure Green Bay is looking for that competition as well. We heard about it all last year when they gave competition to Rashid Walker. Walker with Nyman, and then Walker won it, and they gave competition to John Runyon Jr. with Sean Ryan, and they still kind of split towards the end of last year, but they loved that competition. So I'm sure that they would love to bring in more competition along that offensive line. And more importantly, it's not just the competition, it's the depth. And I think that's the big thing that you have to look at. Caleb Jones, completely unproven, redshirted for 2 seasons. We have no idea. I don't even think that the Packers have necessarily a great idea if he could come in and actually play legitimate snaps, or if he's just going to come in and he's just nothing. Like, he's not going to make it. This is his last opportunity and he doesn't make the most of it, and he ends up not on the 53-man roster. Luke Tenuta. I think they actually really like Luke Tenuta. And I think the big tell here is end of 2022, he was activated like ahead of Rashid Walker and ahead of Caleb Jones and ahead of some of the other guys that, and we've obviously seen how they feel about Rashid to start him. He was activated ahead of those guys end of 2022. And then 2023, when cutdowns came, they could have just IR'd him for the season or released him. And instead they put him on the 53 to start the season with the hope that he could come back at the end of the year and play at some point. Now, it never worked out that way, but it was telling that they thought enough of him to put him on the initial 53 with the hope that he could come back at some point. So I think they do actually really like Luke Tenuta, but again, he's still a complete unknown as an actual player out on the field if you would need him at this point. Royce Newman, I don't think I need to say anything there. You're certainly not confident with any snaps that Royce Newman needs to play. And your only other player on the roster, can you name him at offensive line? Kadeem Telford, who I've talked about in the past. I liked him as an undrafted free agent. Odds that he becomes anything significant moving forward is, to me, less than Caleb Jones. I don't think he's even in that realm of player. We don't even know what Caleb Jones is going to become. That's your only depth. And I've said it 1,000 times this offseason already, so I'll just say it very quick one more time. You are one position away, one injury away at this point right now, where you've got the situation where you're in Byron Bell land, you are in Don Barclay land, you are in Alex Light land, where you're consistently getting beat and the quarterback, in this case, Jordan Love, is going to have to lower his eyes and watch that spot, and it's not comfortable and it's going to ruin part of Jordan Love's progression. It's going to ruin some of the passing game down the field. It's going to ruin Josh Jacobs. Like, it will affect everything. So to me, you want to make sure that Love is protected, that he can continue to progress and grow the way that he is progressing and growing, and what that we saw at the end of this past season. You want to make sure that Josh Jacobs has every running alley known or available to him available, and not somebody crashing through like we saw for the Raiders this past year, where he couldn't get anything going because that's a waste of money. And you probably want to make sure that your $55 million investment, a year in Jordan Love is probably getting protected to the best of the ability of the franchise as well. So to me, protect Jordan Love, and this offense is going to do spectacular things moving forward, but you have to protect Jordan Love. They need depth, they need competition, and that's why we're going over offensive line in great detail today and who they could potentially pick. And I'll do some breakdowns as well for a couple big time players. Football season is over. College basketball season is over. The NBA and NHL regular seasons are almost over. But guess what? We are still in a wonderful sports time of year with the start of a new baseball season already kicked off and NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. And what better way to get hyped for playoff hoops in hockey than by signing up for Prize Picks and getting in on the excitement with America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the place where you can use your knowledge to take $10 and turn it into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball entries today. That's 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And here's something I haven't even mentioned yet. You can play against some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Shane O'Malley. Just go to Community Plays under the Promos tab to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. And one of my favorite aspects of Prize Picks too is injury insurance. Your entries will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For example, let's say you have a basketball player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second half. that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry still stays alive. This week, I'm going NBA heavy. I'm looking for a Bucks bounce back with Giannis, a fiery Kevin Durant to end the season, and Luka Doncic going scorched earth as they try to secure a better seed. Listen, I'm having a blast with Prize Picks, and you should be too. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The great news, offensive line is one of the top two positions in this draft. You could, I think, argue wide receiver or offensive line. Could probably go either way. I think I like wide receiver a little bit more. Either way, those are the two top positions in this class. And then of the top 100, so if you look at Dane Brugler's big board, he has 22 of his top 100 players that play offensive line. 22 of the top 100, so more than one out of every five. And just to remind you, there is quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, edge rusher, linebacker, corner, safety. There are 10 different positions. There should be one in 10 that would be an offensive line. It is, you know, one in five, less than one in five that are offensive linemen. So a lot of offensive linemen in the top 100 should give Green Bay a lot of options. And we know that Green Bay has five picks in those top 100 and they have a need for offensive line. So this is one of those needs that matches up very well with what this draft is strong at. And I think Green Bay is going to be able to attack this position very aggressively on days one and two of the draft. So let's do a little history lesson here. If you're looking at first round offensive tackles, it's been a bit. In the Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst era, so going back to 2005 with Aaron Rodgers being the first pick of that era, only two offensive tackles taken in the first round, Brian Bulaga and Derek Sherrod back-to-back in 2010 and 2011. Since then, no offensive tackles taken in the first round. The last interior offensive lineman that was taken, you got to go back to 1994 in the Ron Wolf era to see Aaron Taylor taken at that point. The last center that was taken in the first round, you have to go back slightly longer than that to 1967 when Bob Hyland was taken in 1967 as a center. So interior offensive line, not something that they generally take in the first round, but certainly center, not since 1967. Offensive tackle, not since 2011, and guard, not since 1994. Now, we have seen some offensive linemen, specifically some interior offensive linemen, go like relatively early in the draft. Josh Myers went 62nd overall. Elgton Jenkins went 44th overall. And, you know, so we know that once it specifically even gets to that second round, they definitely have an appetite to go towards interior offensive linemen and centers. We also know that this is a franchise that has had an unbelievable success rate of uncovering gems in the day three of the draft. TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, David Bakhtiari, Zach Tom, Mark Tauscher, Corey Linsley, JC Treader. We can go on and on. They have done an unbelievable job of finding those gems along the offensive line and developing those players too on from day three draft picks. So we know that they can find that success, but we also know that a lot of those guys, now Tauscher came in, Bakhtiari came in and were ready to play right away. I think Linsley basically played right away. But TJ Lang took time. Josh Sitton took a little bit of time. Zach Tom, his first year, he was able to play, but he didn't play a ton, and it definitely took him a little bit of time to get ready as well. So it's not always just like these guys are ready to come in and play. Sometimes there's a developmental learning curve that goes right along with that. So just remember that. And that's why I think the day one, day two of the offensive line is definitely still a very strong place to look for the Packers. So with that in mind, let's try to narrow this down and figure out who Green Bay could be interested in based on their previous draft picks, their historical preferences, and specifically as we look back in the Gutekunst and Ted Thompson and even a little bit in the Ron Wolf eras of what they really love at the positions. So we've gone over the first round in every one of these breakdowns. We know they love players 22 or under from a power conference, relative athletic score 8 or above, and a premium position, which offensive tackle would qualify, guard or center would not. So players in the top 50, or even if we want to like expand that a little bit, these are the players that fit that profile potentially. Again, 22 or under, power conference, relative athletic score over 8, and a premium position, meaning they would play offensive tackle. Joe Alt, Olu Fashanu, Talis Fuaga, if he plays tackle, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, Graham Barton, if he plays tackle, Jordan Morgan, if he plays tackle, Kingsley Suamataea, I did it, Kingsley Suamataea, I've screwed that name up 1,000 times, I've got it down now, Kingsley Suamataea, and then Roger Rosengarten, who has gotten a little bit more buzz as of late as a potential top 50 guy. I think first round would be really aggressive, but he's starting to gain a little bit of momentum as well. Those are the players who would qualify that are, again, 22 or under, from a power conference, relative athletic score over 8, and play, at least theoretically, could play or have played offensive tackle. That's the list. Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga, Mims, Guyton, Barton, Morgan, Suamataea, and Roger Rosengarten. Those are the ones. All right. Those who do not qualify, and the reason why. Troy Fatanu is 23 years old. And again, these don't have to be disqualifiers. Let me be very clear here. It's not like Green Bay is like, well, Fatanu's 23, rip that, you know, player profile up. We've seen them take 24-year-old Devontae Wyatt. We're just going over in general their preferences at the position. J.C. Latham did not test. Jackson Powers Johnson, center, which we know that they have not prioritized in the first round, also did not test and have no relative athletic score or you know, anything for him. Cooper Beebe, just an interior offensive lineman in all likelihood. Dominique Puni, interior offensive lineman and is 24 years old. Christian Haynes, interior offensive line and is 23 years old. Zach Frazier, interior offensive line and is a 6.46 relative athletic score guy. Patrick Paul, 23 years old. And then if we even want to narrow this down a little bit more, we can probably stop talking about Joe Alt as well, because he's probably gone in the top 8 and almost certainly gone in the top 10 to 12. There's not really any opportunity for Green Bay to get Joe Alt in this draft. So I do not see that as any realistic opportunity. So your top remaining first rounders that are on this list: Olu Fashanu, Talis Fuaga, again, if he's a tackle, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, Graham Barton, and Jordan Morgan, if they're a tackle, Kingsley Suamataea, and Roger Rosengarten. Those are the ones that are left. Now, we also know that the Packers love two very specific tests when it comes to offensive linemen. They love agility. They like a 4.75 second short shuttle and a 7.75 three cone or under in that. That's what they're usually looking for. That's the preferences that they have based on all of their previous draft picks at the position. So what do we know about narrowing it down even more? Fashanu did not test. Fuaga did not test. Mims did not test. Guyton checks the boxes. So Guyton's one. Barton checks the boxes, again, if he's a tackle. Morgan did not do the agility testing. Suamataea did not do the agility testing. And Rosengarten did not do the three cone. So that leaves Tyler Guyton, for sure. He's checked every single box that we looked for. And Graham Barton, I'll say one more time, if he's a tackle. Those are the only two players that we have that sort of check everything, at least theoretically, for Green Bay as first round players. So what about top 100 players that have everything minus just premium position? So what if there's an interior offensive lineman that they check everything as well? You have four players total: Graham Barton, Joe Alt, again, who we're basically eliminating because he's going to be a top 100 guy or a top 10 guy, Tyler Guyton, and Cooper Beebe. Those are the four that if we just take the premium position away that have tested everything, that pass all the thresholds, that pass everything: Graham Barton, Joe Alt, Tyler Guyton, and Cooper Beebe. Those are the four. Those are probably four guys that I'm willing to say are very high on Green Bay's draft board in some capacity, because again, they hit almost everything. The only thing that Barton and Beebe potentially don't is if they're interior offensive linemen. But again, once you get into the second round, that's no longer going to be an issue specifically for Cooper Beebe in that situation. All right, how about top 100 players that are just missing one thing? You have Graham Barton, if you consider him an interior offensive lineman, and then Roger Rosengarten, who does not have a three cone. So those are the players that are just missing one thing. How about top 100 players that are disqualified only because they didn't test, not because they tested poorly, meaning we can't really disqualify them because it's not like they had a bad three cone or a bad relative athletic score or a bad short shuttle. It's just that they didn't test in really any of those metrics. So we can't really disqualify them. It's just, we can't qualify them either. Well, those players are Roger Rosengarten, Olufoshinu, Amarius Mims, Talese Fuaga, Kingsley Suamataea, JC Latham, Jordan Morgan, and Jackson Powers Johnson. So you can't necessarily disqualify them just because they didn't test. It's just, we can't put them in that category of passing all the thresholds and all the checkboxes. How about players that I think are probably eliminated from Green Bay's draft board along the interior offensive line? I'll say Joe Alt one more time just because, again, he's going to be gone. Zach Frazier, 6.46 relative athletic scores under the 8, had a 7.85 three cone, so does not check their agility box, and he has no positional versatility. He is a center only, maybe could play some guard, but that is usually not the player profile that Green Bay goes with in the top 100 of the draft. So Zach Frazier, I don't think is going to be their cup of tea. I would also add JC Latham to this as well. 6'5", 342, that bigger, huge-bodied offensive lineman is not usually what they like to do. Also did not do testing, and I think you also could argue he's probably gone by 25, and they're probably not going to move up for him. So I would take Joe Alt, Zach Frazier, and JC Latham off of your list. So let's try to narrow this down in one more way. Let's go through all of the offensive linemen that are potentially in the top 100 and say whether or not they pass or they fail, and if they fail, what do they fail off of? All right, you have Joe Alt, who is likely gone because he's ninth on the consensus draft board, but hits everything else. Olufoshinu, no agility testing, no versatility, and in all likelihood, he's gone and he's 14th on the big board right now. So Foshanu probably doesn't, you know, check everything there. Fuaga, do they value him as a tackle? If not, he's interior offensive lineman only, which would not pass that first test. Also has no agility testing, also might be gone by time 25 comes around. Troy Fatanu, 23 years old, no agility testing, 19th on the big board, could be there, probably not, maybe not. The 23 years old, probably not an eliminator. The no agility testing, not an eliminator because I think he tests well enough, or like he plays well enough on field that you're not super worried about it. But again, he doesn't get that clean checkbox here. JC Latham, 342 pounds, no agility testing, probably gone before Green Bay picks him. Amarius Mims, 340 pounds. Again, not their usual cup of tea. No agility testing. 28% vertical, which is not one that they necessarily look at as much, but they love their athletic testing, and 28th on the vertical is not ideal. Limited starting experience and no versatility. That limits Mims a little bit. Graham Barton, the only thing here is potentially interior offensive line. Otherwise, he checks every box. Jackson Powers Johnson, no relative athletic score, no agility testing, interior offensive lineman only, probably center only, and no versatility there. Tyler Guyton, limited versatility, probably tackle only, limited experience, and he is over 6'7", which is not something Green Bay does a ton of, but I don't think it's an eliminator for him, but there are some question marks there too. Jordan Morgan, probably interior offensive line only, no agility testing. Kingsley Suamataea, no agility testing. Zach Frazier, we talked about, relative athletic score, bad three cone, center only, no versatility. Cooper Beebe, interior offensive line. Patrick Paul, 6'7", 331, not usually the frame that they look for. Also, he's 23 years old. Christian Haynes, interior offensive line only, 23 years old, no agility testing. Kieran Amadaji, no relative athletic score, no testing, small school, 23 years old. Dominic Puni, interior offensive line, does have some tackle experience though, but 24 years old. Brandon Coleman hits everything. We found one. Brandon Coleman, he hits everything. There's no question marks. It's a beautiful thing. Roger Rosengarten, no three cone. Blake Fisher, 7.72 relative athletic score, 7.76 three cone. So those are a little bit off. Isaiah Adams, 7.23 relative athletic score, 7.77 three cone. A little bit off there. And then Christian Mahogany, 7.81 three cone and no tackle experience. So outside of, you know, Cooper Beebe, who's interior offensive line only, Brandon Coleman hits everything, Tyler Guyton's pretty close, there's not anyone that really stands out all that much of like, yes, this is the perfect Packers offensive lineman. Even on the interior, there's a few, like I mentioned. So let's try to build out a potential big board here for Green Bay. Here are the five offensive linemen that I think Green Bay would at least very much consider in round one. Graham Barton, the question mark here is, if they view him just interior offensive line with no tackle versatility, would they still take him? I think he hits so much of what they look for. I think they believe that he probably could play tackle, specifically right tackle. I think the versatility is something they love. I think they absolutely would consider him. Whether or not they'd actually pull the trigger at 25 or if they would have somebody higher than him, that's a little bit more debatable. Whether he's there is debatable, but I definitely think they'd at least have some interest around that spot for Graham Barton. Tyler Guyton, not only does he basically hit everything that they look for, he also was in for a top 30 visit, and we know that those top 30 visits in the Goody era usually mean legitimate interest in the player. So that one to me is one I would keep a very close eye on. Troy Fautanu, we don't know the agility testing, and he's 23 years old, but overall, if he gets there, the agility on tape looks fantastic. They took a 24-year-old, Devontae Wyatt. They've taken a 23-year-old Demarius Randall. I don't think it's going to be a complete limiter there. I think they will absolutely have Fautanu on their board. Talese Fuaga, no agility testing, but again, his agility looks good on tape. I don't have a ton of concern there. He's a clean mover. I think he would be somebody that they'd have to consider. Might be a guard in the NFL too, so it's a little bit more there, but he's so freaking talented. I think they'd have to at least consider it. And then Amarius Mims is the harder one here. I would not have put Amarius Mims on this list, if I'm being totally honest, unless or except for the fact that he was a top 30 visit. And we know that, again, that usually shows legitimate interest from Brian Gutekunst. So I would guess of these five, Tyler Guyton is the one that makes the most sense. All the athletic thresholds, young developmental player, premium position, power conference, agility testing, relative athletic score, just checkbox after checkbox after checkbox. A little bit taller, a little bit heavier than maybe they usually go for. I don't think that's going to be a limiting factor for them. Hits that right tackle spot, which we talked about maybe Zach Tom moving inside earlier. To me, if they took one of these guys, it would be Tyler Guyton. That'd be probably, I'm not saying he's my guy. I want to be very clear. I'm not saying Packers should take Tyler Guyton. I like Tyler Guyton. Probably not the perfect first overall pick or for Green Bay, in my opinion. I like him. I wouldn't have any issues with it. But I think if I had to predict, I would say Guyton would probably be the offensive lineman in the first round. That's the most likely of anyone in this class. In the second round, I think you get another group of really fun players. Jordan Morgan, Kingsley Suamataea, Cooper Beebe, Roger Rosengarten, Dominique Puni, and Brandon Coleman. I think all of those could be in play for either of Green Bay's 2 second round picks in that range of the draft. And then in the third round, Kieran Amidaji, Blake Fisher, Isaiah Adams, and Christian Mahogany. I think those guys would be in play more in that third round range. So I think that's sort of the big board that you're looking at.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go through some of these prospects specifically. I want to go through Guyton and Mims in a little bit greater detail. I'll give a couple notes here on Fautanu and Jordan Morgan as well. But let's start with Tyler Guyton, excuse me. So again, he hits everything they normally look for. I do believe he's going to be there at pick 25. that you could kick Zach Tom potentially to center and put Guyton at right tackle. He's a little bit more of a developmental player. Again, he was in for a top 30 visit. In 2022, he had 401 snaps with a 66.2 grade per PFF. 2023, 663 snaps with a 63.7 grade. So these are not like 80, 90 grades like we see for some first round players. His pros, he's extremely athletic. He's always attacking, always looking for work. He has fantastic play demeanor. He plays a little bit pissed off. I know people would like to see him finish a little bit better. I don't need to see somebody like throw someone to the ground. I want to see them play aggressive, have a little bit of a mean streak. And then when the whistle's done, that's okay. I don't need them throwing people out the club. I'm cool with them just doing their job and playing pissed off through the whistle and then being done. I'm very, very cool with that. He has great agility and has great ability to recover because of that great athleticism. He moves like a tight end in open space, we're not talking Mercedes Lewis here. He moves like a legitimate tight end in space. He can get to any layer of the field, any level of the field, any spot on the field. He's a very, very clean mover, and he bends very well, he gets low at his size very, very well. And that's something that if you're going to be 6'7", you better be able to get low. And it's not natural for a lot of players with that size. He gets that knee bend very, very well. And you have to be careful when you say bend, because if you're bending at the knees, really great. If you're bending at the waist, really bad. So he gets that knee bend and gets low in a very good way, especially for his size. His cons, he needs to anchor a little bit better, put on a little bit more functional strength. He's over-aggressive, gets caught leaning a lot, and sometimes defenders will just kind of do like a little bit of a push-pull move and just get him overextended, and then he's just kind of toast at that point. So he needs to be a little less aggressive. That's an easy coachable thing. Defensive linemen, again, will use that aggressiveness against him. His height can be used against him as well. He will lose the leverage war from time to time against smaller players who just get underneath his pads and are able to manipulate him a little bit. Only 15 career starts, so he's limited in his playing experience. He might just be a right tackle. He's easily athletic enough to play left, but he looks a lot more natural at right the All-Star game. During that week, did not look quite as comfortable at left tackle. And he might take some time. He might take a little bit of work. It might take some time, effort, and energy to really round him out into the player that you want him to be. But as we talked about, it's not like Green Bay has this super huge need at tackle right now. They do have somebody that's there and ready to play. And maybe next year when Josh Myers is gone, that's when you move Zach Tom into center, and then hopefully Guyton is ready to take over at right tackle. And in the meantime, he still does provide you with a really talented player to back up if things happen where you need him to play sooner rather than later. Amarius Mims, 2023, he had 297 snaps with a 75.6 grade. 2022, 385 snaps with a 77.5 grade. And in 2021, he had 121 snaps with a 73.5 grade. The pros here, when he is squared, balanced, under control, it's game over. He's just going to get his hands on you. He's powerful. He's hard to get around. He's got great movement skills. He's just going to win. So when he does his job, when he's playing clean, he's going to win. Very clean pass sets. Really clean mover for his size, plays with great strength, understands leverage, a much better anchor than Tyler Guyton, who we just talked about. There is, in my opinion, a little bit of Tristan Wirfs to his game, which is extremely high praise. I'm not talking Tristan Wirfs now. I'm talking about Tristan Wirfs when he came out of college. Tristan Wirfs now is like, he's incredible. Like, he's not going to be that day one, but coming out of college, there's some similarities there. Long arms, huge wingspan, which is super beneficial to a tackle, and only one career penalty. Now, I know he didn't play a ton, but still, one career penalty is pretty freaking impressive. The downsides, extremely limited playing time. 803 career snaps, only 8 career starts. This is somebody that injuries and just like the positions he's been in has not been super conducive to him having a ton of playing time. And that's going to limit where he is as a player from an experience standpoint at this point in his career. He oversets, and that's going to be something that he has to correct a little bit, and he will overextend. And again, a little bit similar to Guyton, not as egregious, but he needs to make sure that he's kind of, again, staying balanced, staying square, just because let the play come to him. And when he does that, it's really difficult to get around him. Again, that's something that's very teachable. Needs to get into a better habit of staying lower. His size, he plays a little bit more up straight. We talked about Guyton getting low with those, bending at the knees. That's something that Mims is going to have to work on over time to stay lower. He's going to get out leveraged as well. There's another player who might just be a right tackle. I think he has some versatility to play left as well, but his best side is probably right side. And then he has had some ankle injury issues that have caused him some time as well. He already looks good. He's 21 years old and in super limited playing time. What I mean here is he's young, he's underdeveloped, he's barely played, he's inexperienced, and he already looks really freaking good. Imagine what time with an NFL coaching staff in a NFL locker room with veterans around him and with a strength and conditioning program and all of that. He's a baby at the position and he already looks good. Imagine what he could become when he becomes a more well-rounded player, because he's not close yet, but he can play. He can play right now. So that's, I think, the really big upside here. And I think there's a lot to be excited about Amarius Mims. Troy Fatanu, just a quicker breakdown here. He's extremely consistent, comes from a little bit of a, you know, gadget offense that's not going to translate quite as well to the NFL. I think he's going to need some time resetting to an NFL style offense. Great blend of agility, footwork, and power. I kind of, you know, I guess defined him as like a stronger Zach Tom, kind of, to be honest. Left tackle, has some experience at guard as well. He's rarely overmatched. Multiple tricks of the trade at his disposal. You can tell he really works at his craft. He's a really sound overall prospect. Great athleticism to the second level. The more you watch of him, the more you appreciate him. His second half against Michigan was a little bit concerning if you want to look for some downsides, but overall, very fun prospect. Jordan Morgan is another one that I spent a little time breaking down. Again, these are just my notes here. Clean mover in the run game, can get to his spots and works really well in his own scheme, especially as a backside blocker. Also could be elite as a puller, and I think he will need to play guard in the NFL. Everything technically is a little bit broken. I think he's going to need to get reworked a little bit from the ground up. His hands, his head dropping, footwork, it all needs work. He's susceptible to counters, susceptible to a bull rush, susceptible to speed rush. He just really lacks any consistency in pass pro whatsoever. He's not a physical mover in the run game, although he does show upside there. If I think he just gets his technique under him, I think you could see him move people a little bit more. Traits-wise, there is a ton to like. He easily looks the part, and maybe that move inside will benefit a little bit more where he doesn't have to worry about quite as much off the edge. I do think he's going to be a project. I have a little bit of worry that he's going to come in and struggle right away, and then he doesn't ever quite get on the right path, and he ends up floundering as a backup, and maybe he's that guy that's in the league for 8 years, but he's kind of in between a starter and a, you know, swing tackle or swing interior player and never really gets his footing under him. That's a little bit of my concern there, but the upside is very prevalent, just needs a lot of work overall in his game. My guys in this class, some guys that I really love, Jackson Powers Johnson and Amarius Mims. Not sure either are going to be exactly Green Bay's cup of tea, but those are two guys that I'm very, very high on from watching them. Not my guys in this class, J.C. Latham. I usually love the big physical movers. And I listen, there's a lot to like about Latham. His size, his movement ability, his just raw power, like his ability to get, like, there is a lot to like. It's just very inconsistent. I saw him lose to some players he should have no right losing to. I will not box or like, I will not scout the helmet and the jersey, but there has to at this point become a little bit of a buyer beware with Alabama offensive tackles, but just them not really working out in the NFL. Just, I think here's how I would put it. I like Latham. He's always going to be one of those guys that just goes before I would take him. And again, it doesn't really matter because I'm not taking anyone, but he's probably always going to go top 20 and I would probably never take him top 20. That's how I'll put it. Jordan Morgan, not generally my cup of tea. I just think he needs a little bit of too much work, but again, there is upside there. Patrick Paul, also not my cup of tea. So J.C. Latham, Jordan Morgan, Patrick Paul, not my guys. Jackson Powers Johnson and Amarius Mims, definitely my guys. Most unique player is Cooper Beebe. He's a guy who plays with a ton of power, but he tested horribly in the bench press. And I know it's not like legs give you power, everything gives you power, but you were expecting him, especially with shorter arms, to like really put up some numbers, and he just didn't. But he plays with great power. He's super agile for his size. He's built like, I don't know, like SpongeBob SquarePants. He's just like kind of like square. He's a really fun player to watch. And he's got that, you know, he's played tackle. He's moved inside. He's going to be a guard all day, every day in the NFL. Super short, you know, like Tyrannosaurus Rex arms. He's just the weirdest player, but he's really, really good. Really fun to watch. But he's unique. And there are some things that you have to sort of like wonder about with the arm size and just his body type. He's a weird dude, but he's really, really fun. I really like him a lot. Someone who I think scouts are going to fall in love with and coaches are going to fall in love with, that probably goes earlier than maybe people are expecting, Kingsley Suamataea. You watch him and he's just like this raw ball of clay. I don't think he has bad habits yet because he's just still developing, but you're going to see him and see his movement skills and see his power and see how he plays. When he sets and it looks good, it's like, oh my goodness, that is gorgeous. And now you just have to get him to program that down in and out, down in and down out. And if once you get there, you could easily have a franchise left tackle. Like that's his upside. Just think it's going to take a little bit of time, and a team that's willing to put in that time could get a, you know, one of the best players in this class if he really develops right. So I think teams are going to fall in love with him, maybe more than where boards are projecting him right now. My prediction for Green Bay, if it's an offensive lineman in round one, I think it's going to be Tyler Guyton. I don't really think they go with offensive line in round one would be my guess as of right now. I know I said before, like if I was putting money on it based on the traits and stuff and how many offensive linemen there are in this class, that I would probably bet just statistically on offensive line. My guess is that Green Bay feels that there's a lot of depth on day two of the draft along the offensive line, and that they're going to be able to find some guys that are going to be able to provide that depth and have some high-end upside to develop. This is a really deep class. I think you could see Green Bay going offensive line how they did with tight end last year. They didn't necessarily look round one. They could have gone Dalton Kincaid round one. You know, they could have looked to go somewhere a little bit sooner. You know, maybe Sam Laporta if they moved down a little bit. But instead, they waited to round two. They knew that day two of the draft was going to be really strong for tight ends still. They get Luke Musgrave in round two. They get Tucker Kraft in round three. I would not be surprised one bit if that first second round pick was an offensive lineman, just like that first second round pick was last year. And then their third round, one of their third round picks was an offensive lineman, just like Kraft was a third round pick last year. So I look for a very similar type of game plan there. So I'm going to say no offensive lineman in round one, but if there is, I'm going to say it's Tyler Guyton. I'm going to say Jordan Morgan is the most likely player in the second round. And this just, again, goes to show it's not who I like. It's about who the Packers like. And I think they're going to like Jordan Morgan a lot, even if he is a little bit more of a developmental prospect. I think he's probably someone to key in on round two. And I think they'll go heavy on offensive line in day three, potentially as well. And I think they'll at least be three offensive linemen, if not four offensive linemen. Wouldn't even be shocked at five offensive linemen in this draft for Green Bay, specifically if they move back at some point and get a few more picks. I think they could go very offensive line heavy, but I'll put it somewhere between three and five offensive linemen coming out of this draft for the Packers. All right, those are my predictions. Those are my breakdowns, our big offensive line episode for the day. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know who you want. And let me know who you think Green Bay will take. I would love to see those comments below. Looking forward to that. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State of Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shabra Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Wang. By the way, as of recording this, we are five members away from 300 members on the channel. So let's hit that before the draft. That would be amazing. Go sign up. Check it out. You won't regret it. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, Go Pack Go.